Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of Not So Mad Science here on the Black Hole Radio Network. Once again, and as always, coming to you live from the city of Detroit. Just because Berry Gordy took Motown to L.A. does not mean Detroit has lost its soul. I want to welcome you all once again to this edition of Not So Mad Science here on the Black Hole Radio Network. And we're going to jump right into it. This past January, were you aware that right here in Detroit, and I like the way they sanitized the name instead of just calling it a marijuana, you know, store or a drug store. You know, they want to call it these sanitized names. It's a dispensary. You know, when you dispense things, you're not paying for it. It's being given out. By definition, that's dispensing something. But since you must go in there and pay for it, they're selling a product. So this sanitized name of a dispensary is a bit oxymoronic. However, you know, as they like to say, call a spade, you know, a what. When it is what it is. Let's just say that a dispensary right here in the city of Detroit has been selling cannabis vape cartridges that are tainted with a potentially deadly vitamin E acetate. What? A medical marijuana dispensary here in the city of Detroit has been selling tainted marijuana vape cartridges. This vitamin E acetate is a potentially deadly chemical additive linked to the vaping-related lung illnesses that have been reported to you last year. And at the beginning of the year, so far, the state's marijuana regulatory agency, the MRA, which banned the vitamin E acetate on November 22nd of 2019, had announced a recall Wednesday of last week on four varieties of the vape cartridges sold at a Plan B Wellness on 8 Mile Road. Plan B Wellness. As if Plan A Wellness plan wasn't good enough. This is the second time that the state has had to recall cannabis cartridges that are tainted with the vitamin E acetate, which is a substance that is used to cut. And those of you in the drug trade, you know about cutting your drug to increase your profits. It is used to cut or dilute the cannabis oil to maximize their profits. On December 17th of 2019, the Marijuana Regulatory Administration recalled the tainted cartridges that were sold at the Elite Wellness in Mount Morris. Also, on November 22nd, dispensaries were informed and required to remove tens of thousands of these tainted cartridges from their shelves for testing. It has been a laborious and difficult process because only one of the state's six licensed labs, with all the marijuana dispensaries that are scattered around the state of Michigan at this time, there is only one lab, one of the six labs, only one of six is licensed. PSI Labs in Ann Arbor is only the only lab approved to do the testing. Isn't that a kick in the head? The lung illness that is linked to the vitamin E acetate has caused the deaths of at least 60 people here in the state of Michigan and sickened more than 2,600 other people nationwide. Two of the primary deaths were right here in our area. The state, unfortunately, in my opinion, is not requiring the cartridges to be tested for vitamin E acetate if they were made after the November 22nd ban. How foolish and stupid that is. Just as with everything else, some do get through. Test, retest, then do the test again, then retest it until you can ensure the public safety. The particular products that were recalled have the metric number on the back called Savage Stick Concentrate. Look at that name. Savage Stick Concentrate. That means when you vape it, smoke it, you become a savage. The Savage Stick Concentrate has the metric number of 1-8-4-0-5-0-1-0-0-0-0-4-2-6-A-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-1-5. Then you also have the Savage Blackberry Kush cartridge. That has the metric number of 1-8-4-0-5-0-1-0-0-0-0-4-2-6-A-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-7-4-3. The next of the Savage line of products that have been recalled is the Savage GG number 4 cartridge. Its metric recall number is 1-8-4-0-5-0-1-0-0-0-0-4-2-6-A-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-7-4-4. And lastly, again, this name Savage on the product should tell you something. Savage Runt cartridge. That metric number is 1-8-4-0-5-0-1-0-0-0-0-4-2-6-A-0-0-0-0-0-0-7-4-6. So for all of you out there who seem to think that you're going to be able to get away and that there are no complications to using these drugs in any fashion, heed the call, y'all. that the white man's heaven is a black man's hell. We are living in dire times, and these times require that you wake up. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. We'll be right back as we get into the details of our program. We're going to have a little taste of the Isley Brothers and Summer Breeze.
Makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind.
Welcome back, welcome back. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. For all those who have been showing concern, fear, and terror over the explosion of the coronavirus from Wuhan, China, I'm going to add to your worries. Just recently, as of today, a Holland America Line cruise ship was refused entry to the country of Thailand over fears of the coronavirus. This is the fifth port of call that has denied access to the ship, despite no cases of the virus having been confirmed on board the ship. We must ask, were they wrong? If so, why are they wrong? Or were they right? If so, why are they right? Well, I'm going to endeavor to answer both questions competently and fairly. Why would they be wrong? Well, there are no confirmed cases. Our doctors have shown that no one on board this ship is infected with the virus. No one has shown any signs of sickness. We are free and clear. And you should take our word. Even though we came from an area where sickness was at, you need to accept our judgment that we are free and clear. That's the pro portion of why they're wrong. Here's the con. Why should I accept your word? What evidence can you provide me that your word is free, true, and clear? When it is known habitually that sickness is pervasive upon cruise ships, flu outbreaks, Ebola, H1N1, and other strange and unnamed sicknesses have been found to be pervasive on cruise ships. But in this present case with the coronavirus, no one truly knows as yet scientifically what the incubation period is for this disease. Thus, anyone aboard that ship, depending upon their length of exposure and contact, may have that disease and it just not has come forward yet. The Holland America Cruise Line tweeted this past Monday that its MS Amsterdam ship will be disembarking in Bangkok, Thailand, for travelers to head home. But on Tuesday, the Thai health minister refused the ship entry into their port of call. I think that is a good move on the part of the Thailand government to refuse Holland America entry into their country, to keep their borders free and clear of sickness. And I'll quote the public health minister of Thailand, Minister Anutin Chandrakul. He says, and I quote, "I have issued orders, permission to dock refused." This was posted in a Facebook post from the Thailand government. I will quote him again. We are aware of the reports regarding the status of Westerdam's call to Lam Chabang of Bangkok, Thailand. Holland America Line tweeted Tuesday. We are actively working this matter and will provide an update when able. We know this is confusing for our guests and their families, and we greatly appreciate their patience. Four other countries, however, or territories, according to the news article, have also denied entry to the ship, including ports in Taiwan, Japan, the Philippines, and Guam, according to the news report released by Bloomberg News, citing the World Health Organization. The Deputy Transport Minister, Atirat Ratanasati, said in a Facebook post, the country would gladly help providing fuel, medicine, and food, although the ship is not allowed to dock in the country's ports, confirmed by the Reuters News. A separate cruise ship, the Diamond Princess, is already quarantined in Japan and has a total of 130 confirmed cases on board as of Monday. The coronavirus originated in Wuhan, China, and has spread globally to more than a dozen countries so far. More than 1,000 people in mainland China have died from the virus. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. And if you thought I was done with the coronavirus, you'd be mistaken. The coronavirus has continued to roll about the world so far, unchecked and unabated. Right now in Spain, the coronavirus has roiled Spain's tech show as Intel, the company, has joined Sony and Amazon in pulling out of the tech show in Spain. The Intel Corporation has become the latest major technological company to bail on one of the biggest mobile conferences of the year amid concerns over the outbreak of the coronavirus. If you remember in Scripture, God has said, I will remove you from your public places of communion until you heed my word. The safety and well-being of all our employees and partners is our top priority, according to Intel. And they have withdrawn from this year's Mobile World Congress out of an abundance of caution. We are grateful to the GSMA for their understanding and look forward to attending and supporting future Mobile World Congress events, was placed in a statement from the Intel Corporation as of today. The Spanish media has reported that the organizers will meet Friday to decide whether or not to go ahead with the annual Barcelona Spain event. a spokesperson from the GSMA, an industry organization that represents the mobile industry and is behind the event, said it does not comment on internal meetings. It's precisely, dear brothers and sisters, it is precisely that attendee headcount that alarms companies as the death toll from the fast-moving coronavirus has surpassed 1,000 people. An event such as this that is attended by the tens of thousands of people, it would only take one person to be there that is infected with the coronavirus to send another tens of thousands of people into the street infected. As of today, the infection numbers have breached 43,000. So, these major communications and media companies have decided to stay away, despite the steps by the GSMA to try and ensure the safety of the event. What are you going to do? Give everybody that walks in the door a medical screen before they're allowed inside the building? By then, it's too late. They believe that by banning travelers from the Hubei province, or those who can't prove that they have been out of China for 14 days or more, and temperature screening would be sufficient. The cruise ships are proof positive that that is not enough. The Chinese electronics group, Xiaomi, tweeted on today that it will be attending the tech show, assuring that staff coming from China would adhere to the above guidelines. Well, those guidelines to ensure your company's employees' safety is insufficient. And you ought to be ashamed of yourself by not giving them the choice to not come. In fighting a tide of worrying headlines about the virus's spread, the GSMA is not alone. The U.S.-based Professional Convention Management Association is keeping a running tally of global events that have been postponed, canceled, or altered due to the virus, such as this week's Singapore Air Show, where around 70 companies reportedly pulled out. Several cases of the coronavirus in Europe have been linked to a business conference in Singapore. Barcelona, Spain, meanwhile, has been struggling with the benefits and risks of hosting an event in the middle of an outbreak that the GSMA estimates is worth 500 million euros, which is translatable to approximately $546 million U.S. and the 14,000 temporary jobs lost to the Spanish city. From the point of view of security and health, they're saying that we can guarantee all the necessary measures will be taken, according to Jaume Calbani, who is the deputy mayor of the city of Barcelona, who was at pains to reassure potential visitors in a television interview on today in Spain, which is several hours ahead of here. But some are arguing in Barcelona the risk of spreading the virus may not be worth it. Spain has just had two infections to date, both from non-Spaniards who contracted the illness outside the country. However, they had contact with people who are in the country before you got them to diagnose their sickness. Stands to reason that the sickness has been passed. Just recently, as of a few minutes ago, there has been a coronavirus update. There are now 1,018 deaths. And a new case has shown up in San Diego. This has caused the World Health Organization to set research to change its agenda now and its focus. Oriol Nitja, who is an associate professor at the Fight AIDS and Infectious Diseases Foundation in Barcelona, tweeted this past Monday that canceling the show would be a wise move, given the many arrivals coming from Asian regions. As he notes, one case of the virus holds a 20 to 30% chance of an outbreak. The cost of postponing or canceling the MWC 2020 is less than the cost of controlling a potential epidemic. And who is going to pay the cost of controlling that epidemic? The GSMA or the ICS, which is the Catalan Health Institute. Dear brothers and sisters, once again I say to you, this is not so mad science. With your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. Moving right along. We're going to keep hitting you with the coronavirus. And I'll give updates as my program continues. So as some Americans prepare to leave, workers on Air Force bases and all, the coronavirus quarantine has now become an issue. Officials have sent letters out urging residents of the Riverside County to stop targeting March Air Reserve Base employees with hurtful statements online or in person. Well, with the 135 coronavirus cases confirmed aboard a quarantine cruise ship, American citizens now, mind you, are concerned. As the first group of Americans have been evacuated from China, prepared to leave quarantine at the March Air Force Base in California. Those who work on the base have faced public harassment stemming from the unnecessary fears, supposedly, of the new coronavirus. Well, any place where you have a communicable disease, people who may have been infected or are infected, where they are quarantined, those who work in those areas are suspect too of being infected or having contracted disease that they're screening for. The best place in the world to get sick is not in the street, it's in the hospital where they treat what? Sick people. On this past Tuesday, the mandatory 14-day quarantine will be lifted, or rather was lifted, for 195 American citizens and their families who were evacuated from Wuhan, China, which is the center of the outbreak on January 28th. I think 14 days is a bit premature. 3 weeks to a month to ensure the safety, health, and welfare of millions of American citizens. Inconveniencing 195 American citizens and their families is well worth the inconvenience and the compensation that you need to give to them, just to ensure the safety of millions of American citizens. I think the CDC has made a mistake. But the Center for Disease Control and Prevention says 14 days is the maximum time period during which symptoms might develop after a person is exposed to the virus. I don't agree. None of the passengers have tested positive for the virus. Keep them for 3 weeks to a month to ensure that your testing procedure is accurate. But those persons who work at the March Air Reserve base have been harassed both in person and online by the Riverside County, California residents who fear that the coronavirus, most cases of which have been in China, might take hold in the United States because somebody on the base may have made a mistake. To ensure that you did not make a mistake, keep those persons that are quarantined there just a little bit longer. They'll understand, they have a social conscience that they don't want to infect all of America because of their attitude, no problem, because of their inconvenience. A few base workers, okay, they've been accosted while in uniform. The letter read, they're saying that that's not acceptable. It needs to stop. Well, okay, I can understand that, but the fear of a pandemic epidemic running across America is high. Take that fear into concern. Assuage the fear, remove the fear, and you have people who now have confidence in you because you remove the fear. But according to the letter, they're saying that those who work on the base have had no exposure to anyone who has been in quarantine. So you say. The U.S. Armed Forces have lied way too often and have a piss poor record where rape is swept under the cover, the rape of female enlisted personnel has been swept under the rug and hidden, where there have been no consequences for those who have participated in that. Racial assaults have taken place, and those responsible for these assaults swept under the rug and have not been held accountable for their actions. This is the military background of the United States government. Why should we accept your word as federal employees being truthful when you have a leader who says just grab them in the pussy and tell them what to do and they'll go where you say go? Whose ego is more important than the health, safety, and welfare of the American people? Your record is not good to say that we should just believe you. Since arriving at the base, two quarantined children developed fevers and were tested for the coronavirus. And they say both tests came back negative. at the moment. Keep everyone there in the hospital environment for 3 weeks to a month to ensure the health, safety, and welfare of the American citizenry. So supposedly, when the quarantine officially lifts today, all 195 evacuees will undergo a final health screening. It's anticipated that today that all will be healthy and will be permitted to travel freely to their final destinations. We cannot be sure of your truthfulness. And this is Not So Mad Science with your hopes, Brother Harold Muhammad here on the Black Hole Radio Network. And for all of those who thought I was done with the coronavirus, Not yet. We are living in dangerous times, dear brothers and sisters. And we must not take things for granted and just take the word of political leadership in a political environment to be honest, truthful, and straightforward and transparent. We must hold them to the detailed accountability of what is or is not truthful, verify that truth, ensure that that truth is accurate, and the information provided with that truth has not been skewed to give a false indicator of transparency. We have been taken advantage of for far too long. I have been asked again about whether or not wearing a mask will help traveling ward off illness. So I'll repeat again what the experts have said. In Wuhan, China, what started off as only a viral infection in December has now spread throughout the world, throughout Asia, and have made its way here to the United States. The novel coronavirus 2019 nCoV is in the same class as SARS and MERS. It is now linked to the death of over, well, let's just say more than 41 people, has infected hundreds more worldwide. Think of that. 41 people have infected hundreds, now corrected to be thousands more worldwide as it continues to spread. Yes, they shut down transportation in Wuhan, China, but that's a dollar late and a nickel short. Five major U.S. airports have started mandatory screening for direct and indirect flights from Wuhan, including JFK in New York, LAX in California, San Francisco International, Hartsfield-Jackson in Atlanta, and Chicago O'Hare in Chicago, Illinois. These are the only five cities with the capacity to contain, quarantine, and examine a major sickness coming into the United States. Not all major international, or rather I should say international airports in the United States have that capacity. Just those five cities. So with the recent outbreak, you see all these images of people from across the world wearing these, what appears to be surgical masks, to ward off illness when traveling. Well, wearing a mask is not a practice that the CDC says is healthy for travelers. The CDC says there is little benefit to wearing a surgical type mask and may even put you at greater risk for spreading infection. This is what the doctor that the CDC said to the ABC News correspondents. To quote Dr. Jonathan Grain, he says, there isn't a lot of data to support if there's any benefit to wearing a mask in a public setting. So he's depending on data to tell you whether or not wearing the surgical mask is of any value. I'm going to share this with you. If the wearing the surgical mask makes you feel more comfortable and safer, wear the surgical mask. If anything, it will keep the risk of airborne particulates from proliferating in your face. Unfortunately, your surgical mask does not cover your eyes if an unruly, uncivilized, curmudgeon, bumpsky-type individual with no home training sneezes, doesn't cover their mouth, and sneezes in your face. No, it's not going to go directly into your nasal orifice or through your oral orifice, your nose or your mouth. But it will get transmuted through to your eyes where there is moisture to travel into the inner recesses of your body. So, but if you're wearing a surgical mask and you sneeze and you lack the home training to cover your face, the predominant amount of particulates that you express out will be contained inside the mask. Therefore, you are less likely to transmit your disease to anybody else immediately. Secondly, the wearing of the surgical mask, and these are my words, will stop you from putting your hands in your face. You go to the bathroom, you don't wash your hands, what do? You touch your face, you funky McNasty, you. Seeing as how you got to wash your ass, you need to wash your hands after. But because most of you are so savage that you go to a public restroom, you don't wash your hands after using the toilet. You go right back out into the world and you touch things with those nasty hands. Or you touch other people with those nasty hands, and you transmit infectious diseases. You dirty dog. Because of your unhygienic habits, you infect an entire population. So, wearing a mask will make it less likely for you to put your hands in your face. And after touching someone who may be sick, you won't get sick because the mask is there to remind you, hey, I need to clean my hands off. So Dr. Green, or Grine, however his name is pronounced, from the CDC, though there isn't a lot of data to support if wearing a mask is of any benefit, I'm going to submit to you, sir, that you are a bumpsky dum-dum and that there is a psychological benefit. And that psychological benefit outweighs the physical benefit where it has a physical reaction in people's behavior and actions. And therein lies a benefit. No, the over-the-counter surgical masks that people are buying in stores are not of the same grade and quality as the surgical masks worn by hospital personnel in surgical theaters in every major surgical hospital around the country. No, they're not the same. But they do offer a degree of protection where you exercise better habits because you have a physical barrier which creates a psychological thought to take place in your head where you will wash your hands and keep your hands out your face. Because we all know, and I'll repeat it again, where's the easiest place in the world to get sick? In the place where sick people go, the hospital. And if someone thinks they have the coronavirus and they go to their local ER and they have not been screened and isolated, everybody in that ER is now what? At risk. So you went to the hospital for a cut, but you walk out of there with a communicable disease that may kill you, and you don't even know it. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Haram Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. And for all those who thought I was done, I'm not. We're going to take a brief, and I mean brief, maybe 60 seconds or so, to regroup, get reset, come back, and knock this puppy out the park. So we're going to go with a little bit of old school music. Let's see what we can find here on the list that we can handle it. I'm going to dab you with a few moments of Candy Staten as we regroup for the next phase of the biblical war taking place in Africa.
Just to reach you, I became a victim.
Welcome back, welcome back. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. Panic. I'm going to say that word again. Panic has begun to overwhelm and take hold as desert locusts have now begun to invade Uganda. This past Sunday, according to Mr. Uwari, who is a motorized sprayer that will be mounted on pickups and tractors, is being mobilized to move into the Karamoja subregion of Uganda. Swarms of these deadly desert locusts this past Sunday entered Uganda through the Amudat district in the Karamoja region, creating a massive panic among the farming community and pastoralists there and the other leaders in the region. So, for those who don't know what those terms mean, the farmers, yeah, well, you know what a farmer is. Pastoralist is the clergy. And leaders are those who are in a political position to have something to say. Well, in response to the invasion of locusts, and I'm going to get to why this is a biblical event, government officials are now in a crisis meeting to prepare how to prevent the locusts that have ravaged several parts of Kenya from spreading to other parts of Uganda. The political leadership has called an emergency meeting of the so-called relevant political and technical officers to meet in Uganda, which would be 7 p.m. their time today, or rather, I should say tonight, to immediately swing into action with the preparedness interventions they believe to be in place, or the efforts in place to deal with the desert locust problem, according to Prime Minister Dr. Rukana Ruganda. He posted this in a tweet this past Monday. Here's the problem. There are certain things that are relevant factors when dealing with a disaster. A disaster for me may not be a disaster for you. A disaster is identified by one's inability to deal with current and present circumstances beyond their means to attain a result or mitigate the degree of impact of a problem. That is the definition of a disaster. The failure in the country of Uganda's approach to this is they did not already have a plan in place to deal with the invasions of locusts that were within less than 100 miles of their borders in Kenya. You knew that the swarm was headed your way. Did you think they were going to turn? Did you think they were going to just drop dead and die? This is the largest locust outbreak in 75 years or more in Central and Southern Africa. Did you think that you were going to get by if Kenya's hit and within 100 miles of your neighboring border, you thought you were not going to be impacted and you did not already have a plan in place? Just because you're from that place they call Africa does not make you a fool. Mr. Martin Owar, the Commissioner Disaster Management Office of the Prime Minister, had earlier said that the Amudat District Agricultural Officer had reported that the locusts had gotten within 4 kilometers or were only 4 kilometers away from the Kenya-Uganda border, and you still had not put a plan in place? The latest report showed that the deadly insects were spotted in several parts of the Amudat district as of 2 p.m. this past Sunday. The reports say that the locusts entered Uganda via the northwest Pokot in Kenya, where they have destroyed hundreds of acres of vegetation. Mr. Robert Adiyama, the Amudat District Resident District Commissioner, boy, these titles, said the locusts have started destroying the vegetation locally. He said the locusts are still in the Okrieri and Laurel villages. Mr. Mastiani Wesasua, the Amudat District Chief Administrative Officer, said that his office is compiling a status report. You're compiling a report after they've invaded, when you should have had a disaster management plan in place and ready when they got to your border. However, you neo-Maxi Zundwebe, you should have assisted your brothers and sisters on the other side of the border in Kenya and sprayed there to stop the locusts from getting to Uganda. Had you helped your brother out and not been selfish to yourself based upon political lines not drawn by African peoples, but drawn by European peoples, separating your Kenyan brothers from your Ugandan brothers by some fictitious line in the sand, you would have went there and helped them before they got to you. However, the State Minister for the Karamoja Affairs, Mr. Moses Kizzi, called for calm. Oh yeah, calm, and they're eating up all the vegetation that you need to feed your people. Right now, the Prime Minister has convened a meeting as of 7 p.m. today to prepare a team that will take action. They haven't taken action. They're going to take action. Desert locusts, according to the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, the FAO, have destroyed vegetation in Kenya and have continued to move the swarm toward Uganda. They travel in dense, crackling swarms that can contain as many as 80 million locusts per square kilometer. The FAO says the locusts can live up to 4 or 5 months, depending upon weather and local conditions. They can lay eggs that can hatch after 2 weeks, with the locust maturing to adulthood in 2 to 4 months on average. They can destroy 192 kilograms of vegetation in 2 days. 192 million kilograms. Oh my goodness. Mr. Owori said that the two air spray planes that have been hired will arrive in the Moroto as soon as possible. They haven't even gotten there yet because you waited. According to Mr. Arori, the motorized sprayers will be mounted on pickups and tractors are being mobilized to move to the Karamoja sub-region. He said a team of UPDF soldiers and the Uganda Wildlife Authority game wardens are ready to assist officials from the Ministry of Agriculture to spray the pests. He said all necessary logistical materials that will be used by the teams have been dispatched to the region. Dear brothers and sisters, I'm going to say it once and again. You Europeanized neo-Maxi Zundwebis, when are you going to wake up and stand up for yourself and help your brother and your sister on the other side of the border to give yourself better protection? A friend in hand, exercising an ounce of prevention, is better than a locust swarm that needs to be sprayed. This is Not So Mad Science, and I'm your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Pole Radio Network. And if you thought I was done, why are today's locust swarms biblical? Why are they biblical in my estimation, and there are others who seem to agree? Why can't they be stopped? Well, on January 28th, Mark Kaufman, a Jewish man, said in 1937, aboard slowly moving trains, the Army National Guard used flamethrowers in an attempt to quell a relentless plague of locusts crossing Colorado. But the flamethrowers failed, and so did explosives. The locusts easily endured the assault and devoured farmland. Over 80 years later, great locust swarms still can't be contained. 2 weeks ago, the UN announced that the desert locust, the most devastating type, descended upon East Africa, and over the coming months, the insects have increased their population by a whopping 500-fold. The country of Kenya had not faced a locust threat of this magnitude in over 70 years, according to the UN. A single swarm of locusts, which are a very voracious grasshopper species that can spread over 460 square miles of land, have been a scourge, at least to the eyes of human beings, for thousands of years. In more modern times, supposedly the British formed an anti-locust unit in the British military at the height of World War II to combat the spread and the pest of locusts in Africa and in the Middle East. It was according to a New York Times reporter who pondered this in 1976. He said, if swarms that darken the sky and denude the land, look at that word he used, denude the land of crops, could be eliminated by progressing technology, still today, the locust affliction continues. They can't stop them. because of the means that they're using to stop them. Lane Kuzin says, and I quote, "It's not surprising to me that we still don't have a grip on this devastation." Lane Kuzin is the director of the Max Planck Institute of Animal Behavior, who researches locust swarms. Today, the best humanity can do is try and to predict where the swarms will form before a massive population outbreak can occur and ultimately consume vast tracts of crops, which are often rural people's sustenance. You need to catch them early, according to Rick Overson, the research coordinator at Arizona State University's Global Locust Initiative. Once locusts grow wings as mature adults, there's no turning back. They're powerful flyers, according to Mr. Overson. They can be in one country and move to another by the end of the week. And during plagues of the desert locusts, the UN notes that swarms can affect 20% of the Earth's land, more than 65 of the world's poorest countries, and potentially damage the livelihood of one-tenth of the world's population. After an outbreak occurs, of the swarming begins, the blunt strategy is to often drop millions of liters of chemical pesticides on the insects, which is bad for the environment in the first place and human health, Mr. Overson explained. We're going to take a brief momentary break right now for about 5 minutes, and we're going to listen to the Diva song, and we'll be right back with the biblical implications of this locust swarm in Africa. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Welcome back. It seems I'm late on arrival. But we're going to more than well then make up for any lost time and dead air that we may have had. We're going to get right back to it. Had a minor problem that needed to be adjusted and attended here. Now, we left off with the words of Mr. Overson, who said what I was about to say. All that spraying is bad for the environment as well. It's more devastating than letting the locusts just eat what they need to eat and just regrow. Because the lasting effect of the chemicals go well beyond the presence of the locusts at that time. The devastation or the damage to the growing land, the arable land, will last for years. But identifying exactly where the locusts start to swarm can be an enormously daunting task to nip them in the bud before they get started. Particularly when it comes to the desert locusts in Africa and the neighboring areas, which naturally inhabit remote, mostly uninhabitable regions. So finding where they are to stop them before they get started, it's difficult, but well worth the effort before they become dangerous. The areas in which locusts inhabit before they go on their feeding frenzy is some 16 square kilometer large, wide area, roughly 6 million square miles in size. These creatures usually live a solitary life, but when the right environmental conditions align, like a very good rainy season, mind you now, Africa has just recently come out of a drought period and they in a period of heavy rain. Perfect condition for locusts. The creatures become intensely attracted to one another and they breathe, and they breathe, and they breathe, and they breathe, and they begin to change color, and they grow even bigger wings because of the rainy season, and they become more muscular, and they transform into a formidable swarm. European scientists say that we're not going to solve this problem as a human society anytime soon. The question you need to be asked is, how did they solve the problem before modernization and the intrusion of the Europeans? They had an answer to that problem, and they dealt with the locust issue differently and successfully. Critically, humanity shouldn't endeavor to completely wipe out locust swarms. There is a value to what they do. Just because their populations can explode doesn't mean we need to destroy them, but they need to be guided and directed. After all, locust swarms are a wild, natural phenomenon. Attempting to eliminate the insects, even if it were possible, could have unforeseen, cascading environmental consequences. It is one of the wonders of the natural world. So you don't want to stop them, you just want to manage them. I would equate a really good locust swarm to a wildfire. Sure, nobody wants their house to burn down, but the wide-scale suppression of wildfires, which is a natural phenomena, has resulted in vastly overgrown forests, which contribute to explosive infernos in the western U.S. What might killing billions of locusts do? It's best not to find out. But to fend off some super swarms from devouring our food, the primary mission in my mind today is prediction. The World Food and Agricultural Organization of the UN currently looks forward to being able to forecast the swarms. Where will the locust strike? Locust explosions can explode after the right rains at the right time, or after mild winters. But there's a slew of other reasons and other things to better account for those stressed conditions. We are presently at the tip of a biblical iceberg, something that we need to know of. How does billions of insects, or how will billions of insects react to changing weather? What is there for them to eat hundreds of miles ahead? And how much locusts, or how many locusts will it take for them to eat each other? Locusts are very cannibalistic. They will start cannibalizing when the swarm begins to dwindle down because food starts to vanish. They will begin to turn on each other. As soon as the resources are diminished, locusts go to war with each other. The locust swarms impact about 1 in 10 people on Earth. There's a glaring lack of funding for swarm research. In part, this is because the swarms exist in boom and bust cycles. So there might be less research interest in years or sometimes decades between outbreaks, which is exactly when you need to do the research, when they're not there, so that you're prepared when they do come. Locust swarm, as some have pointed out, usually don't descend upon the rich world. They more affect poor people, which is why no one cares. And there's a huge lack of interest in that from wealthier nations. But the U.S. needs to be mindful. We need to be mindful. The U.S. had its locust swarm in the 30s. They can recover. We need to change the way we look at the world and at each other and how we attack problems. Stop looking for the individual and deal with the community. And we've reached the end of our road for this edition of Not So Mad Science here on the Black Hole Radio Network with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here in the city of Detroit. And we're going to close this edition out, just as we closed out last week. Has the coronavirus reached epidemic proportions yet? Is the locust horde over Africa going to go away? Or is it getting worse? Is it science or divine judgment? Is it science or is it divine judgment? Look into yourself and get into that mirror that's not hanging on the wall when you close your eyes, and the answer will be in front of you. My suggestion for those who are looking to manage the locust horde: you got sprayers, but you're spraying chemicals. Spray a highly flammable liquid and then strike a match in the middle of that flaming, or rather that blowing of flammable liquid. How far can a locust fly that's on fire? Yeah, they used blowtorches in the 30s, but they were pointing them at the ground. Spray that flammable liquid across the horde and then shoot a flammable agent into the mist and burn them to the ground. You don't want to kill them all, but you want to kill enough of them that they do not destroy the crops that are required to feed you, nor do you want to destroy the land. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. And for those of you who need an idea, I'm going to connect the coronavirus and the locust swarm. In the movie Outbreak, where the U.S. government and the military conspired to create a pathogen that could kill people quickly, and they lied about it and allowed almost an epidemic to overwhelm the country with a fast-moving virus, they used a piece of equipment called a fuel air bomb to destroy any evidence that they were there to get their weaponized virus. That same treatment can be used to destroy the locust swarm on a slightly smaller scale, a fuel air bomb. So we're going to leave you tonight, as we usually leave you, in the immortal words of Adam Clayton Powell Jr., that great Baptist preacher from the Abyssinian Baptist Church in New York, the greatest black politician to ever hit the modern era. Keep the faith, baby. Keep the faith. And you got to wash your hands. Good night. Allah willing, we will see you next week.